Item on the agenda is Cynthia Smith, Reedville, Virginia. Mr. Riley?
Good afternoon, everyone.
And Ms. Smith? You can keep your seat till Rob finishes. That'll be fine. Thank you.
Provide some background. And in your packet, you have a letter from Mrs. Smith on behalf of her husband and Ori.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of the letter, Ms. Smith comments that the recent incidents in spring of 2010 is a prime example of a need for better communications. Over 40 watermen in this area had no knowledge of changes made in the bay crabbing sanctuary in 2008. You see the sanctuary on the slide that were discussed and approved after the crabbing season started. Changes were never communicated or enforced in 2009. This year, many crabbers in Virginia and Maryland were given citations without warnings. Again, we the watermen suffered a tremendous financial loss with no restitution. Fishery staff does not have all the details of 2010, but we have some. We know that the Commonwealth's attorney asked the judge to dismiss, I think it was six cases, one of which included Mr. Smith. The other part about this last paragraph, the sanctuary change was done March 25th, 2008, and at that time, as many know, it was a time of dire circumstances. It was a bay-wide 34% reduction in the harvest of female crabs. And at the end of the presentation, I'll bring up some examples of just what has occurred since then.
Okay.
So staff is going to concentrate on the three points of Mrs. Smith's letter. One is a return of the June 1 closure of the blue crab sanctuaries. And as Mrs. Smith has indicated, May is a pivotal month for harvest, and the temperature is not conducive to a lot of crabs in that area at that time of year. The crab sanctuary was closed based on the historical sanctuary, which was created in 1942 with the June 1 to September 15th date. This commission changed that in 2008 on testimony from scientists and from staff about the need to conserve female crabs that were pre-spawn that would spawn in the spring or the summer. At the same time, that reduction was about 12% of the overall reduction plan, in that the change in date allowed for about a 4% reduction in female crab harvest. So there were really two components to the commission's action. Show you this slide because staff is trying to get an indication, and based on our recommendation later, if the Crab Management Advisory Committee reviews this information and this request by Mrs. Smith, it may be more important at that time to go into a lot of details about the areas and about just exactly what occurs in the spring in those areas.
Sure.
The main stem of the bay, the sanctuary, as you saw previously, is about 70% of that area. You have the upper western Chesapeake, and that's the area up in Reedville, and the area that Mrs. Smith is talking about in terms of the sanctuary change, which I'll show the lines later. You have the upper east, you have the lower east, and you have the lower west. These are the standard, since about 1973, VMRC reporting areas. So there may be three or four codes for the tributaries on the western shore that divide up the river for reporting, but for the main stem bay, there are those four areas. When you look at those four areas, it's not just the spring in the upper western area, in the Reedville area, really above Horn Harbor up on the western side, where you find lower crab harvests. You pretty much find that throughout the year. Starting in 1994, throughout, and especially picking up since about 2002, the upper west is the lowest producing area overall. So the question is that based strictly on crabs, or is that also based on effort? We looked at the pounds of crab harvested. And again, you can see in 2007, which was the last year before the major reduction, that the upper western area is lower both in April and May in harvest. And when you look at 2010, it still is lower, but one thing that you should notice from 2007 to 2010 is a spike in all the areas in terms of the harvest. And that's because the abundance increased quite a bit in 2009 and 2010. If you look at the harvesters, you can also see that through time, the upper western area does have somewhat less harvesters, but you can also see some changes where there are more harvesters in 2009 and especially 2010, almost to where it's equal in the upper east, which is the second least amount of crabs produced on a yearly basis. So there really is some connection between harvest and the trips. And when we looked at 2009 and 2008, in 2008, there were about 300 less trips in 2008 in the upper west than the most productive area, which was the lower east that year. In 2009, there were 1,000 less trips, much less effort in the upper western portion of the bay as compared to the lower eastern portion and the lower western portion, by the way. Now, one thing to keep in mind, this is similar to what the commission in the past used to hear from striped bass fishermen. Certainly, there are many reports each spring of migrating crabbers who move from one area to come down to the lower bay. So it's not as if this is a fixed or a set-aside system. However, just like with striped bass, there are those fishermen who prefer to crab in the area closest to where they are. If you look at the average harvest in the main stem bay for those 4 years, you can see that the upper western area, which is here, is less, but you can also see nicely in 2009 and 2010, all areas spike up. These percentages on the bottom are just an indication of the increases. So there's been quite a bit of an increase in April in all four areas compared to 2008. So this compares 2008 to 2010. And in May 2008 to 2010, the areas increase across the board as well, with the upper western area increasing by 32%. Now, one thing to note, in 2008 and 10, that's when the May sanctuary started. So if you remember the first figure that I put up, there are areas around the sanctuary where crabbers can still crab. That did pick up quite a bit in all areas. The second request by Ms. Smith was that the boundaries of the upper western sanctuary off Smith Point be returned to the physical landmarks of the Great Wicomico Light, to Smith Point Light, to the Maryland Can Buoy, as agreed upon in the special meeting of July 2002. She also made a comment that random boundary lines are being set by VIMS, and also indicated that there's a 30-foot depth contour that doesn't seem to have been followed. What staff has put in your packet in one of your attachments is a chronology of all the regulations since 2000. And I'm going to find that so I can tell you. It's attachment 3. So if you look at attachment 3, it starts with July 1 of 2000. That is a time when the sanctuary was increased to a measurable degree up to 661 square miles in 2000. And that was part when the commission was trying to find a way to conserve female crabs and also was trying to find a way to boost harvest. So July 1 of 2000 was the first large expansion of the sanctuary from its original 146 square miles. With an effective date of June 1, 2002, the commission adopted a sanctuary acreage or square miles of 927 square miles. That served two purposes. At that time, all the jurisdictions were under a 15% reduction in exploitation plan across the bay, and that provided a certain amount of savings. At the same time, that sanctuary line was indicated by VIM scientists that it would protect 70% of the female crabs within those boundaries. In July of 2002, what Ms. Smith has mentioned, the special meeting, there was a special meeting, and what the special meeting did was it took this, let's call that orange, it doesn't quite look orange, but this line running here straight up. There were complaints because the depths were so shallow in here, you're not going to be able to see them, but the sanctuary really was in depths where it was 2 to 10 to 8 feet of water. And the commission, after hearing testimony from the public and from Mrs. Smith at that time, I believe, changed the boundary line to what is now this green current line. This is the current boundary line at this time. Most of the depths that you can see are within 32, 32, 29, 32, 31, hugging the boundary. As you move up in towards the Maryland line, they do shallow, but this whole swath is in an 8 to 10. You might get up to some 20s right here. So this green boundary line in the upper western area, if you look at attachment 3, you'll see that from July 15th until the present, there's been no change. With all the regulatory changes there have been, for one reason or another, the green line has maintained constant throughout. There never has been a change. The only changes to the boundary are ones that are in progress that came before the commission last June, when law enforcement at first noticed that the green flashing buoy at York Spit, and also engineering and survey noticed that some of the physical markers were not lining up exactly within 1,000 feet for both those measurements, and the commission decided it would be better to establish the correct lat and longs, or GPS, for those physical markers, which has been done, completed by engineering and surveying, and passed on to VIMS in September so that they can choose the points on the water. So there really has been no change. And the one thing that staff has never quite understood, here's what we see as the green can buoy on the Maryland-Virginia line, and coming down to the Smith Point Lighthouse, and then coming to the Great Wicomico Light. And other than perhaps providing some benefit in this small triangle here, where the depths are a little bit greater, you've got a comparison, you know, it runs up to 26, 32, 23 feet in this area. But on the opposite side of that, if this were to be the line, that would mean that there'd be quite a shallow depths running in the lower portion of it up until you come across from Gaskins Pond. Gaskins Pond is about here. So there would be some benefit in a small part of a change such as that. It's never been the sanctuary boundary. You know, that certainly is something that has left us a little bit puzzled. The third point that Ms. Smith talks about, and staff has talked to Ms. Smith and at length, and does understand that this is a really position that they have, that they're just adamant about this communication, and staff understands that. But we did pull some information about trying to notify 2,700 plus commercial fishermen each time there's a regulatory change, and the prices range from $8,000 to $12,000 a month, depending on the amount of regulations. So clearly, the costs are very extensive, even when times weren't as austere as they are now, within the state and especially within this agency. We have recently come up with a solution which we hope helps the communication avenue, and that is to use an 800 line. We already have 800 lines set up where fishermen report their Black Sea harvest or their horseshoe crab harvest. We're going to set up by January an 800 line where callers can find out about regulatory changes. The straw man for that right now is you would have an oyster call-in line, a striped bass call-in line, other fin fish, other shellfish, and a caller could find out what changes there were. We would notify the industry about this through the newsletter. We would also notify them when they called the agency, by the way, did you know about our new 800 number? And one of the things about the communication was that Ms. Smith indicated in that paragraph that I read in the beginning about not communicating. Well, we did send out a newsletter in June of 2008. It did talk about the changes to the sanctuary. It provided the identical map that I showed you on the first slide and had a discussion there. Granted, it was done a month after the change was adopted, but that was about as timely as we could do at the time to get all the regulations in there. When staff spoke to Mrs. Smith, we indicated that the commission was not apt to pass an emergency regulation today to make any changes. One reason is the season is almost over. It ends November 30th. And the other is the CRAB committee hasn't really had a chance to look at this. Whereas last year, there were two other areas. Both the representative from Tangier, Dan Dyes, and also we had a request that came from Lynn Haven, Joe Palmer, who wanted to have a May 15th startup date for the closed sanctuary. And at that time, the commission went by the control rule, which isn't here as a figure, but is here by a table. Staff also explained this to Mrs. Smith, and I grant it that if you're a crabber, you're not always thinking about the state of the stock, but the commission certainly has to. And if you look, 2010, this is the overall abundance of all sizes of crabs. 2010 is the first time since 1997 through the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey that there's been an abundance of crabs of that magnitude, of greater than 600 million. If you look at the spawning size crabs or the spawning age crabs, you have to go back quite a way. You have to go back to 1993 from 2010 to see an amount of spawning crabs equal to what we saw in 2010. 2009 was the first time we were over that interim target that was set by bay managers and bay scientists to get above 200 million. And you can go back here at the spawning age crabs and see that they were much less. What was very good news to the commission with last survey was the fact that these recruits or new crabs were as prolific as they were, 345 million crabs, and the last time you saw something like that was 1997. So at the time, the commission said, well, we did go over the interim target by a little bit, we're over again, but this is the first time we've seen these type of numbers with recruits, and that means there should be lots of crabs in the fall. But the commission and staff indicated they would like to see that happen again, which is hard to find back in the last 21 years prior to making a decision to take away part of what was the 34% reduction plan, which was 4.4% from changing the sanctuary date. The other aspect of the control rule is over here, the percentage of crabs removed. So for 2 years in a row, it's been pretty good. The target's 46%, just slightly over in 2008. 2009, under target, 43%. You have to travel back quite a distance to find that. You have to go back to 1996. And the Boldened text there are the years where at least we're under that threshold or the area that indicates that there really is a problem about to occur.
Well, I think you got justification for that, because if you look at 92, 93, that nice number that you've got highlighted, and then, bam, right after it, what happens?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean...
So it's difficult. We did this last spring. The fact that there may be good recruits and good spawning age crabs, again, is something we're all looking forward to, but it's a hard feat to replicate by the blue crab. So the commission takes all that into account. The commission really started looking seriously at the control rule, and this is the makeup of the control rule, in 2005, 2006. And staff has the recommendation to look at this closed season suggestion by Mrs. Smith on the sanctuary of changing it to June 1, and also any modification of the boundary line, that the CMAQ should look at that, just as I'm sure they will be again reviewing the requests from other areas of the bay for a closed season that does not start May 1. I'd also like to add, staff did receive 5 other phone calls on this issue. They are in your packet. Every single caller wanted the June 1 closure date reestablished, but none of the callers expressed any interest in changing the boundary line.
Well, okay.
That's all I have, sir.
Did you also, I believe I've received a text message. Mr.
Yes,
Charleston, did
appreciate
you?
That, yes. We had, I think at the oyster meeting that we had, the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, Mr. Ken Smith, who is on the Crab Management Advisory Committee, expressed interest that this be heard at the CMAQ coming up at their next meeting.
He texted me this morning and asked the same thing, that I would convey that message to you. So,
well, the other part of that was that he had asked us earlier if we were going to be able to have a Crab Management Advisory Committee meeting strictly to hear the Smith's case. And staff told him that time, since we have other cases, we're going to wait.
Okay. Well, any further?
I'm sure that...
Well, Ms. Smith has traveled a long way. I'd sure like to, to hear from her. Ms. Smith? Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, Mr. Bowman.
How are you, ma'am?
Very nice to meet
you. Yes, in person. That's nice of you. Thank you.
This man needs a raise. He's put up with me since March or May. And I do compliment him for Mr. O'Reilly for his professionalism in trying to listen to our complaints. You have the letter in front of you that all of you received that I sent to Mr. O'Reilly back when this first happened, back in May. Now, my husband's been a waterman for 57 years on the bay, and I know they use the term traditional, but he's a very honest Christian, working, hardworking man, and so are all the other men and women that work in that area. And every time we get a notice to change our call rings or to not crab on Wednesdays or do whatever you all recommend, we do it. This particular issue that was brought forward so well by Mr. O'Reilly was adapted in April of 2008. Now, he says all the watermen received a notice in June of 2008, and nobody that we know of has received any such communication. It was not enforced in 2009, and in 2008, actually, where my husband was crabbing and some of his fellow crabbers were crabbing, was well within 22 feet of water, was well within the boundaries, but of course it was May and not June because we did not know of any of the changes. I didn't know I was going to do a rebuttal. I probably should have taken notes. Okay, I thought I was going to do a presentation, but I'm open to questions. The three main issues we have, well, other than the fact that there were at least 40, 45 of us that were not notified at all of these changes, and they occurred in April of 2008, and we were given our citations this year. So that's a big gap in people not knowing. We pay a registration fee of $190 in January. We pay all our licensing fees, and yet we're not given the ability to have the regulations or changes in regulations. And Mr. O'Reilly has patiently explained to me your economic situation as far as why this can't be done. I think changes in regulations are very important. My husband's an active member of the Virginia Watermen's Association. We go to meetings. It was never brought up there. Nobody knew about this change. So I'm not contradicting what was said here earlier. I'm just saying the fact is the watermen in our area did not know of this change, and it was brought to the attention of the judges and the Commonwealth Attorney, and also the Attorney General of Virginia. The fact that these changes are not being communicated with us is a problem. And I see where he's come up with some recommendations that might help that problem with the 800 number. One thing that Mr. O'Reilly did do, and I'm sure he can take full credit for this, is we have a small local paper, the Rappahannock Record, in Kilmarnock, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of the notices of y'all's decisions and everything just occurring in the daily, I call it the daily depress, but the daily press, or the Richmond paper.
Corey, you don't have to put that in there.
You know, it's just unrealistic because most people can't sit down and look at the little legal notices in those papers that are 2 hours away from us. And so they have started publishing your activities in our local paper, which has helped an awful lot. That has been one very, very positive thing that has come out of here. The reason that everybody is upset, well, besides a big loss of income, the temperature gradient of the bay doesn't warm up in our area to the end of April. The end of April, the first of May, is the only time we catch what we call market crabs. It's the only time that we catch crabs that we can get a fair market for them. And we don't understand, and I've had many conversations with Mr. O'Reilly about this because he doesn't like the word discrimination, why the crabbers in the lower bay who pay the same amount for their licenses and registration can have their spring crabbing. And we were denied our market in spring crabbing. And actually, our counties and our economy up there depend on that money. Yeah. And our families depend on that money. And it may not seem a lot. I've heard terms like, well, y'all are less populated up there. I'm just saying I've heard these terms.
I can assure you that that doesn't have anything to do with the decisions that are made up here. I couldn't.
Well, I sent a letter to Mr. Robbins and to several other people on the commission specifically suggesting that it be considered, a temperature gradient of the bay be considered in making these regulatory changes, because we feel like we should be allowed to crab up in our area and have that little bit of market, because in the fall, yes, we have the crabs in the fall, but we have no market in the fall. We have a very narrow window in the spring of about 2 or 3 weeks that we can have a market, and our families really depend on that. And our counties depend on that.
Okay.
The date going to June 1st would make it a lot fairer, and I like that he suggested that. At least that's what I think that means. Issues of delayed closing of crab, is that what that means?
No, ma'am.
No, that's not what it means.
No. No, the suggestion was that there are two other areas, mm-hmm, on the upper eastern bay, mm-hmm, as well as the lower bay, who wanted to go to May 15th last year. And I'm sure they will bring that up again to the crab committee. And your recommendation for June 1 will also be discussed by,
okay,
the crab committee.
Okay. But we have gone through the channels and the proprietors of trying to talk to everybody that's involved in this decision making. There's a little bit of discrepancy about the boundaries that we're asking back for, and I can briefly explain that. In a meeting here in 2002, when we got William Pruitt off an island somewhere out in the island and out in the bay somewhere, and brought him here, we all met. We all worked things out. Mr. Travelstead. Dr. Ron Lupus from VIMS, we met. They went in the back room for about an hour, came back out, and decided that these boundaries from Smith Point Light to the Green Can Buoy to Wicomico Church Light were in effect. Now, they can say that it never shows up on their record there, but it was decided in that meeting. And none of us in our area have ever heard anything different about any different boundary lines. Now, that's just a matter of a discrepancy between the two parties there. But that has always been our boundary line. Not many of our crabbers up there have GPSs. And even if you did have a GPS, it's very hard to throw the crab pots over, shake them like you know, and function with a GPS. We don't have that. We have to have physical landmarks that we can triangulate by. And this year, they gave us the Green Can Buoy and the Wicomico Light, which I believe my husband can correct me, it's at least 6 or 7 miles. You can't physically triangulate by those boundaries. We need physical boundaries. some people have suggested, like Ronnie Jett, who's on the Crab Advisory Committee, they have buoys, and we were told no buoys. But we have to have a differential line that we know where the boundaries are. Now, I don't know how we can get around that, because we can't function with GPS and we can't function with just internet communication, because most of our people up there, unfortunately, are not internet educated. So those are just two things that I guess the Crab Advisory Commission will consider when they're making their decisions. And I think that's about all. The biggest thing is our 30-foot water depth. We are not against the Bay Sanctuary, Crabbing Sanctuary. And all those figures that are up there, I could debate some of those for a long time, but I can't pull that PowerPoint back up. There's a natural cycle to crabbing. But also, he had a lot of figures up there for 2010, and we weren't allowed to crab up there in 2010. We crabbed in the river in 2010, but not in the bay, because our 2010 in the April, May, you know, we were in the rivers. So I don't know where those statistics came from, because they weren't ours. But I think what we're asking for is a fairness in the regulatory process so that we can have crabbing. Going to May 15th isn't going to help us much. We need at least 2 or 3 weeks in May, solid weeks, that we can crab and make an income for ourselves. The boundaries, I wish you would really please consider some type of physical boundaries that we can triangulate by, that we can see. Right now, we call the BMRC local office to come out and help us make sure we moved our pots back in the boundaries. We waited out there 2 separate days for them to come. They never came. We have friends that are crabbers that are experienced menhaden fisher pilots. They can't make out the boundary lines. It's not just us. We're saying there's a problem. That's all I'm saying, is that there is a problem there with the boundaries. And those three things plus the communication, I think, just about sums it up. Well, and I'll entertain questions.
Well, let me tell you before we go to the questions what we'll do. I'm going to promise you this. We will have a hearing to address those matters, just as Mr. O'Reilly outlined. And I'm glad y'all are having a very, very good dialogue, because it means a lot. It's the intent of government to basically have dialogue with the citizens that they serve, because if it weren't for y'all, there's no need for us to be here. And I truly believe that. Number two, as far as the communication is concerned, my communication director, public information guy, is right over there, Mr. John Bull. I think we can work with the smaller outlet newspapers to provide results. The onus works both ways as far as maybe the press is concerned as well. We publish our commission results on the website within a couple of days of everything that goes on. Now, whose responsibility it is to get it to whom, I don't know, but I can assure you that we're going to work to make sure that those smaller outlets get the results, and then if there's something in there that you have a question of, you can call here and get the correct answer. We will do that as well. So having said that, I think it's important that you bring these issues to us. I'm glad that you have, and we'll do everything that we can to make sure they get straightened out. Any questions from members of the commission? Mr. Plumlee?
Yes, sir.
Smith, you mentioned receiving citations, and wasn't clear to me what the citations were specifically for.
Okay, they were just fishing in the crab sanctuary.
Okay, it was within its...
But we were only in like 20 feet of water. Of course, what threw us off was the June and May. We didn't know it had been changed to May, but we were well within the old boundaries. And we were finally catching crabs for the first time in 5 years. And we had to immediately move our pots in. And even then, we weren't sure we were conforming to the new boundary lines. And there's just a real problem there.
So it was both the boundary and the time frame.
And the depth. The depth has always been a 30-foot contour. In 2002, when we had the discrepancy, they not only came in, they came into 8 feet of water. They came into the jetties. They came into 8 feet of water, and they're supposed to be at 30 feet, and that was the main problem then. Now they're going into 9 feet of water. Well, there are no crabs in that depth of water that time of year. So you might as well just say, we've lost our crabbing, you know, up there for that year.
Understood.
So I just wish you would consider that, and I know you all do. We lost a lot of money in 2002, but we lost a heck of a lot of money in May of this year. And I do appreciate all the people, the governor, the attorney general's office, all the people that have responded back to me, Harvey Morgan. And I do appreciate this time to come before you.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the concerns that have been raised through this inquiry, and I think it would be helpful, in addition to having the committee look at the boundary and the season dates, also discuss some follow-up on the communications and how those regulatory changes are being communicated. So I would look forward to a productive discussion on that. I don't know if you'd like a motion to send it to committee, but before we do, I wanted to ask Jack Travelstead what additional information we might have as a committee if we meet, for example, in January. I know there's been ongoing work on the blue crab stock assessment. That'll be a benchmark assessment. I wonder if we'd have that type of additional information in front of them.
Hopefully there will be at some point after the first of the year, two pieces of information that we don't have now. There is a brand new stock assessment that is being conducted on blue crab by the Bay's blue crab scientists. And it'll look at new methodologies and new targets and thresholds, potentially. We think it's important that the committee and the staff have that information before we start making decisions about changing boundaries and seasons and other issues. In addition to that, we've asked Dr. Kirkley at VIMS to conduct a capacity analysis on the blue crab fishery. That kind of analysis will tell us how many people could safely harvest the target level of blue crabs from the bay and how much excess harvest we have out there. That's going to be an important piece of information to have, because if we hit the target, if we're above the 200 million target this year, we have over 300 people whose licenses are now on the waiting list will potentially come back into the fishery next April if we're above that target. So having that capacity analysis will help guide us on that issue. Now, in addition to Mrs. Smith's request, as Rob said, we have at least two other similar requests. We have a standing request from the Tangier Watermen's Association to lop off the upper one-third of the crab sanctuary, open that entire area from the Rappahannock River north to the state line, at least for the first 2 weeks in May, if not the entire month of May. And then we have crabbers to the south who want that month of May back as well. So there's a lot of people wanting to see changes in the sanctuary. In addition to that, we have the waiting list people that will come back in that I just mentioned. And then we also have the annual issue of whether or not to open the crab dredge fishery. So you'll have to make that decision again. I can tell you right now, if we do all of those things, open the crab dredge fishery, change the crab sanctuary boundaries, open the month of May, and let 350 new people back into the fishery, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have big-time trouble. We're going to go right back to where we were, you know, before 2008. So hopefully some of this new information that we'll have after January will sort of guide us where our priorities should be and which of those issues we're able to grant and which ones we have to keep.
Sounds the CREB Committee's got a lot of work to do. Mr. Robbins, you had a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I do. I would offer to move the Smith's request to refer to the Blue Crab Committee for review.
Along with that, Mr. Bull, I think it probably would be a good idea as part and parcel of the entire process for you as the public affairs gentleman to attend that meeting as well to provide some input as far as communications are concerned. For second to the motion?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion?
Yeah, one.
Yes,
one
sir, Mr. Schick.
One point on the.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fox.
On the map. If I were a crabber, I'm sure I would prefer having physical monuments like the Great Wicomico Lake, Smith Point Light, and so on. But I also note that if I were coming out of the Little Wicomico, this change that Ms. Smith proposes I would like that. But if I was coming out of the Great Wicomico, I don't think I'd like it as much. And so I'm sure the crab management group will take all those things into consideration.
So noted. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Have a safe trip.